You are listening to Bible Direction for Life, the sermon podcast of Westside Baptist Church in Bremerton, Washington. We pray that the preaching and teaching you hear on this podcast connects the truth of the Bible to your life, that you would learn more about the triune God who made you and what he made you for. And now, here's today's message.
Well, it's a blessing to be in the Lord's house today, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't know if you're happy to be here, but I am. And I told Pastor Peter maybe that's why people decided not to come, as they heard I was preaching today. And I've been here before, so I know it's okay. Luckily, I don't get offended easily. When you work in prison, you can't. You just can't. Well, I guess you could, but it would be kind of pointless. So it's a blessing to be here. We always enjoy coming here. I've been coming over here for years. Actually, the first time I was in this church was probably in the 80s. My uncle was stationed in Bremerton many years ago, and but then several times over the years. And then we moved here, of course, in 04, working with the military. And right away, your church was there. And some of the men from your church would help me at the naval brig over at Subbase Bangor before they closed that facility down. But the Lord's done some mighty things in the last 21 years of ministry. I can't believe we just started our 21st year this month, and 22nd year, pardon me. And so it just blows my mind. My kids are all grown and have children. We have two grandchildren now. Last time I was here, we had one. And so we have he's almost 4-year-old grandson, and then our granddaughter's a year and a half. We are just blessed to have them. Of course, they're way too far away down in Pensacola, Florida, but we praise the Lord for them. And we thank you. We thank this church for your many years of support and faithful prayers. Of course, some people I've known for literally decades, and others, you know, I'm just meeting today. But anyway, it's a blessing to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for having us, and thank you for your faithful support. And do pray for the work. Just give a real quick update before we get into the message. We're actually flying to the naval brig in San Diego, naval brig Miramar. And so pray for us. This is actually the first time we've been there since COVID. And so finally, Southern California is allowing us to come in. And we just praise the Lord for the opportunity. So I'll be preaching there next Sunday. So next Sunday morning, please just be knowledgeable of that. Please keep us in prayer. We ask for the Lord to be there with us. We want to see young service members that are in trouble come to know the Lord there at the naval brig. So please pray for that. And then in May, we'll be going to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, the big military prison. And we've been going there for, well, since the beginning of our ministry, really. And so please pray for that revival as well. Regarding the work here at Fort Lewis, at Joint Base Lewis-McChord, please pray. I was sharing with Pastor John and Pastor Peter and some others. We have never faced the resistance, if you want to call it that, the devil fighting like we have here in this last year. For the last couple of years while they were rebuilding the facility, obviously, we were not in the prison, but we were traveling full time, and we had an agenda, and we had a mission, and we were busy doing things. And we got back up about a year ago, and this last year's just been battle after battle after battle. Exodus 1:8 speaks of there arose up a king that knew not Joseph, and that's kind of the position that we're in. The new commander, the new XO, CO, they don't know and don't care who we are. We're also seeing the pattern kind of in the world today of people just don't care about spiritual things. The Bible says in Corinthians they're dead without Christ. They just have no concept of spiritual things. They don't even like the military chaplain, let alone some civilian chaplain guy. And so they were facing lots of difficulties. So I'm trying to help the chaplain, the military chaplain. And he's never done prison work before. Of course, I've been doing this for a long time, so I'm trying to help him. But do pray. Hopefully, they will allow volunteer work, and that's what they're calling it, to start here soon. So just pray for us. It's been a difficult time. And it's not about me getting in there. It's about young men and women hearing the gospel. Amen? And that's really what it is. And so please pray that the Lord would either reopen that door and or make his will clear if he needs us to shift gears and change the way we do things. So please pray for us there. We desperately need it. I do have prayer cards. I have this sitting up here to remind me, and I still almost forgot. Most of you probably have one, but if you're new or you're visiting today, please feel free. We've got a table in the back. My wife and I will be back there. We definitely want your prayers. She definitely needs your prayers because she lives with me. And so pray for us. We desperately need your prayers. And I still get sad when I look at this card because my girls aren't on there anymore. But anyway, some of you, I know Derek and Anna know my daughters. The Mosses know my daughters. And several of the others of you all know them. But anyway, God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Are you happy to be in the Lord's house today?
Amen.
I pray that you are. Well, Pastor Peter told me that your church has been emphasizing evangelism and reaching out. And I was really praying what the Lord would have me to do. I did not know. Well, I think he told me, but it didn't register with me that you were scheduled for the Lord's Supper today. But this message kind of ties in with that. And then some of the scripture readings today also tied in with that, which is really just the Lord, because I failed to get Pastor Peter my sermon outline and text. But God took care of all that anyway, and we praise the Lord for that. So if you will, take your Bibles this morning. Look at John chapter 13. That will be our main text, John chapter 13. Once you've found your place, if you can stand easily, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? If you can't stand, that's fine, but those who can, would you stand for the reading of God's Word this morning? John chapter 13, just 1 through 12, I won't have you stand long. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 12, the Bible says this, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not, save to wash his feet. But is it clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? For a sermon title, if you want to call it that, this morning, I pretty much just chose that end of that verse in verse 12. Know ye what I have done unto you. Do you have any idea what Jesus has done to you? Lord willing, you are a born-again believer. You know that he saved you, Lord willing. If you don't know that, you can know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 tells us we can know that we have eternal life. We can know. But some of us, that kind of is where it stops. And we really don't have any clue. Maybe that's what I should have called it. You have no clue. I thought that might be a little offensive, so I decided not to say that. So I'm just quoting scripture, so don't get mad. Jesus said, Know ye what I have done unto you. But the reality is we really don't have any clue. We have just tasted, even those who have been saved a long time, we have just tasted a little bit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you please meet with us this morning? God, you know I need your help. Lord, I know these people love you. I've so enjoyed the old hymns. Lord, just worshiping you this morning. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to have just a small part in your work. Lord, I know I'm not worthy, and Lord, none of us are. But Lord, you've allowed us to. And Lord, to see this picture of you physically on your knees in a position of submission and humility, washing the dirtiest parts of humanity. Lord, what a beautiful symbol that is, Lord, not just physically, but spiritually. I pray that this morning we might gather together in this congregation, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified, that you'd convict us, that you'd draw us close to you. If there's someone here who's never allowed you to wash them, Lord, I pray this morning they might trust you as their Lord and Savior. We love you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll let you be seated. Thank you so much for standing. So we see this time, and you know, the Lord's Supper is often a time where we see the picture, and we just picture a family dinner, if you will. And I'm not trying to not be spiritual. I'm not trying to minimize the situation or the sincerity or the serious nature of the Lord's Supper. But really, this is a time where you gather. It's a close time. It's an intimate time. It's a personal time. It is a loving time. It's close. Here's my question. How close are you to Jesus? How close are we? I mean, is this just our weekly gathering? You know, Sunday morning, punch the card. Well, I'm going to church because that's what we do. I was watching something not too long ago, and it talked about, especially, I was raised in the South. I was raised in Jacksonville, Florida. I lived there for most of my youth. You know, everybody in the South says they're a Christian. That's just what you do. You go to church. But hopefully this morning, you know, and I know that the Word is preached here and that you are students of the Word, and the Lord hopefully has shown you that it's not just, we ought to go to church, but, and it should be part of your culture, your habits, but Lord willing, when you come, it's more than that. And it is a time of being together and close. But also in this time of this supper in the upper room, it was a dark time. It was an ominous time. We know that the Scripture tells us that, you know, the Lord had told them in times past that things would be difficult. In Matthew 16, verse 21, He told them, my day's going to come, I'm going to die. And you will watch me die, I will be crucified, and I will rise again. But, you know, I wonder how many of the disciples, the apostles, actually thought about that, and did they see the time coming in this ominous time, and maybe they felt overwhelmed, they were unsure, maybe there's an uncertain time, and they were not sure what was going to happen, especially when the Lord starts doing this. Like, we don't understand what you're doing, what is going on? So, this, I just kept thinking about this. What dark times are we in? What uncertain times are we in? Well, that's, you know, I just told you our ministry report, and really that's where we are. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do. Here's the reality. It's not my ministry. You support me. You say, well, that's Brother Hohenstreet's ministry. It's not my ministry. It's the Lord's ministry. He just allows me to have a part in it. And so I have no idea what I'm doing. You see, Brother Lance, why are we supporting you then? Because I'm just trying to follow him. It really, and that's all you do too. Sometimes we, by the way, I'll warn you about that. If that is your attitude, you're like, well, wait a minute, we ought to know what we're doing. Yes, we ought not to be, we ought not to be unlearned. We ought to know how to worship and how to praise and how to reach someone. But the reality is the only one who really knows what's going on is the Lord. And it would do us well to be subservient and to follow him and to say, Lord, whatever it is that you have, I have no clue. It's okay to say, I don't know, Lord, but you do, and I'll follow you anyway. And really, that's kind of what the Lord says, both in verse 7 and again in verse number 12. He says, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And oftentimes, maybe Pastor Peter is bringing the word, or Pastor John, or one of your other pastors, or someone's bringing the word, and you're like, man, I have no idea, I just don't get it. But you will. You will. The Lord says He will impart that to you. And you, we can grow in knowledge and wisdom. And I pray that you do. And we ought to study. Be a student of the Word. Again, in verse number 12, He asks them, He says, know ye what I've done unto you? You just watched everything I did. But do you have any idea what I just did? Well, Lord, I think you washed my feet. Well, if that's where you are this morning, well, then we have a lot to learn. Because it's more than washing feet. And I pray this morning that you'll allow the Lord to speak to you and help you. One of the biggest questions I get in prison work, some of you know my background, some of you don't. I don't have the time to tell my testimony this morning, but I was in law enforcement for many years. I was civilian law enforcement in Mountain Home, Idaho. I was also Air Force Security Police in the first Gulf War era. And, you know, I did not, some of you know this, but you know, I didn't like inmates. I didn't like to be around inmates. You know, you get cussed at, barfed on, you name it. And so I just had no use for it. But then my brother went to prison. A lot of things happened. The Lord had to give me the burden that I have. And it is an unsavory mission field. It's not something where I can come and show you beautiful pictures of this beautiful tropical place and the cute little kids running around. That doesn't happen in prison. Prison is not pretty. There's nothing nice about it. And if sometimes we were at a missions conference years ago, and these different couples got up from the mission fields they were on, and they would get up and they would sing these beautiful songs in a foreign language. And I just got up and I said, if I spoke the language that they speak where I am, you'd throw me out of here. So prison's not pretty. But I started looking at this text, and there's so much. Here's the reality. Do you know why we fail in evangelism? Do you know why we fail to reach people that are hurting? Do you know why we fail to reach those that are destitute, that are in dark places, that are in hard places, that are facing the consequences of sin? While I know that most of us know we should not be arrogant or narcissistic or think ourselves better than someone else, oftentimes we're like, well, they should have known better. Hey, do the crime, you do the time. I mean, and you might not be literally in prison, but sometimes our attitudes are that way. Or maybe someone will come into church that maybe doesn't look like you think they ought to dress for church, but maybe they don't know the Lord. And sometimes just our attitude alone, we can be as nice as we can be, but our attitude's not what it ought to be. And they don't see an attitude of servitude or humility like Christ showed. They see rather someone that's, in the South they call it highfalutin, I'm in church this morning. And sometimes we get, and I'm not trying to be, but sometimes we get that attitude. Listen, they need Jesus, and we need to love them exactly where they are, because that's what Jesus did. And that's what our attitude should exude, the Lord's mercy and grace and love. I'm going to give you three things this morning. Hopefully it will be a help to you, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you this week. And I challenge you to look out around you, to be conscientious of those that you work with, that those who live near you, that those that are watching you, those that know you're at church this morning, and ask the Lord to give you an opportunity to serve and to reach someone. Everyone, imagine the blessing that it would be to your pastoral staff and this church if every one of us just one. I'm not talking about going and knocking 1,000 doors. I'm talking about one. If everyone, and I know there's a song, it's kind of, an iconic thing, but if every one of us could just reach one, imagine what would happen to this church building. You'd be packed out. And the odds are that every one of us know at least someone that we have a connection with that we could reach. God has given us a relationship. God has given us a position. God has given us a connection with. God has given us communication with. And God has given us the ear of, and maybe even the heart of, someone that does not know Him. And if we would simply get on our knees and be willing to serve to reach the destitute, what a blessing it would be for God's glory. Here's three things. First thing I want you to notice about the text is the position that he took. The position that he took. Verse number four. Verse three. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he was coming to God, went to God, and he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. First thing he did was take off his coat. I know some pastors, sometimes when they're preaching, sometimes when I'm really preaching hard and I get really hot, I might take my coat off. Usually I don't, but I know some pastors that do. And I remember we were talking about that one day, and I actually had a pastor, I won't tell you where they were or where we were, but the pastor's like, well, I think you ought to leave your coat on. I just think it's not right to show everything, and you ought to stay looking, and I understand professionalism. I've done professional speaking many times, and maybe you don't know that by hearing me, but we ought to look professional. But sometimes we get so fixed on what we see, that the visual of what we see, that, well, the Lord made it very, very clear. It's not about the coat. The first thing he did was take off his overcoat, his outer garment. In other words, I want you to notice this is not about what I'm wearing. I'm not saying what we wear or don't wear is not important. But he says, it's not about what I'm wearing. And then he put on something else. He put a visual thing. He put on the towel like an apron. He made it apparent, I am taking on a position of servitude, and I don't care if everybody sees it. Sometimes we're like, well, I might clean the bathrooms at the church, but I don't want anyone to know. I'm just going to come do it behind the scenes. The Lord said, I have no problem with it. I'm going to put it on right here in front of you. And He took the position of service. If you take your Bible, you don't have to turn there, but in Philippians chapter 2, we know, the whole text really is the position of the Lord, and it's probably one of the most humbling texts I know of in Scripture, where Jesus took upon Himself the form of a servant. The Bible says in verse number 7 of Philippians 2, but made Himself of no reputation. Listen, we're talking about the God of heaven in the flesh. Made Himself of no reputation. I had a pastor one time, I was in a meeting with him, and he asked someone who had had problems with, they didn't want to do a certain thing. And this is what he said, who do you think you are? I've said that to some of my guys at the prison before. Well, I'm not going to do that. And we get all upset about things. Maybe the pastor has asked you to do something, or maybe someone has asked you to do something that might be, well, a little more demeaning or degrading than what we want to do. Well, I wanted to have an important job. Not that. And sometimes who do you think you are? Really, that's what the Lord said. He took upon Him. He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. If Christ can become a servant to us, if the God of heaven can serve me, then who do we think we are? Remember what I said at the beginning, you have no clue? Do you know what I've done unto you? We really don't always get it. And I'm not saying you don't always get it, but some of us don't. I know there have been times I don't. Even as recently as this year, and Lord willing, I would like to think that if I've been a Christian for some amount of time, that I would like to be, at least think I'm a little spiritually mature. You know, maybe I'm not a two-year-old anymore. Maybe I'm just, like a little kid. I know there's some immaturity there, but I'd like to think I'm getting more mature. I mean, that's the ideal, right? To grow in grace. And maybe this morning you think that you've matured, but yet at the same time, we all find ourselves in a position like this where we don't like to be humbled. We don't like to take upon ourselves this form of a servant. We like to be served. Come on, nod your heads up and down. I mean, we like to be served. I had someone this morning say, Brother Lance, would you like some water? I said, well, that'd be wonderful. I like to be served. But wait a minute, the Lord said, do you know what I've done unto you? You are to serve. Sometimes we have this idea in our minds. We look at, by the way, the word minister just means servant. To minister just means to serve. And sometimes we look at the word, and I'm not saying that the pastor or people that are in full-time ministry ought not to be respected. I think we should. But at the same time, really all we are is a full-time servant. That's all we do. That's all your pastor does, is serve God and serve the flock. That's all your pastoral staff. That's all I should do. But sometimes we start thinking we're something else, and we forget the position that He took, and we start to think we have a position. You get what I'm telling you? We start to think our position is what's important. Jesus said, no, I'm putting the cloak to the side. I'm taking up a towel. And then I want you to notice the position that He took, literally on His knees. Can you imagine? I get overwhelmed with emotion just thinking about it. I see Pastor Peter sitting on the front row. I can't imagine having God in the flesh at my feet, washing what arguably one of the dirtiest, especially in that time frame, the dirtiest things we have. Sometimes we get after Peter. Why would Peter say, well, Lord, you're not washing my feet? You'd be the same way. Especially if we were barefoot all week or just sandals and dust and our feet were disgusting. We wouldn't want the Lord to touch them. We would probably do the same thing. Yet I want you to notice the position that He took was he took off His cloak, He took up a towel, and He took a knee. He took this humbling position before man. By the way, if you're here visiting this morning, I do pray that you'll come back when the pastor's here. But listen, the Lord is here to serve you too. He wants to minister to you. And whatever is dirty on you, and I'm not trying to imply anything, we all have our own dirt, but the Lord will wash you. He'll take care of whatever you are. And the fact that the God of heaven cares enough to do that blows my mind. Brother Lance, how in the world can you go in there to that military prison? Some of those guys have done horrible things. Absolutely. Brother Lance, isn't it hard for you once in a while? Absolutely. Until I look at texts like this. Who do I think I am? Well, Brother Lance, you know, I mean, that sin or this addiction or that thing, you know, they're less than, are they? Did you know, I believe this, that if that person who you think is the less than was the only person on the planet, I think Jesus still would have died to pay for their sin. I just believe that. I just do. The invitation is open. Yes, I know God knows who will and who won't trust Him. I understand that. But the invitation is to all. It is open. I believe that is what God offers humanity. Who do we think we are? The position that He took. You say, Brother Lance, I ain't washing your nasty feet. Well, praise the Lord. I have been to some foot wash. I'm not saying that we ought to do that. I don't think that is a ordinance. I have no problem with it, but if someone wants to do that, but I don't want to be near anyone. I don't like feet. I joke with my wife all the time. Hers are the only feet I've ever seen that I ever think were even pretty. But I love my wife, you know, I mean. And besides, that's the only thing her dad, I would sit, my father-in-law would let me sit on the floor next to her when we were teenagers, and he would let me touch her foot. I was okay with that. I know, she's probably turning red back there. She's probably irritated. I don't know. Embarrassing. I don't like feet, do you? But that's what the Lord did. Are you understanding the humility that's involved there? You say, Brother Lance, is that what it's all about? Well, I think that's part of it, but that's not everything. Not only do I want you to see the position that He took, I want you to see the second thing. I want you to see the people that He touched. You say, well, Brother Lance, we know who the apostles are. Well, it's bigger than that. And it's symbolically definitely more than that. But look at the Bible says in verse 5. After that, He poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. So, and it's not just a towel off to the side that He doesn't let touch Himself. It's literally the apron, the towel that He had wrapped around Him. He literally got on His knees at the disciples' feet and what He was wearing, wiped what was on their feet. He took their dirt. Listen to this. He took their dirt upon Himself. To me, I'm just overwhelmed with embarrassment, really. To think of all the dirt that I have, that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken. You say, Brother Lance, man, that's humbling. It ought to be. If we would humble ourselves before the Lord and realize that the God of heaven got on His knees and cleansed you, the dirtiest part of you, to change your life, it absolutely ought to humble us. But not just for the sake of being humble. But how about this? Remember the person I said a minute ago that you're thinking, maybe it's that inmate in prison. I could never, ever deal with them. You know that guy that's done that crime, I could certainly never reach them. You could. You could. If you remember what the Lord's done for you. I've got two daughters. Some of you know that, but I guess I told everybody that this morning. But, you know, there have been times in prison where I have met someone who's done horrible things. And I'm not going to be graphic about it, but. And there have been times I've had the thought. I'm just being transparent as your missionary. Lord, this guy deserves to burn in hell. And quite frankly, the cop in me wants to help send him there. Come on, don't judge me now. Some of us have had the same thoughts. I was on my way home from the facility one night after dealing with a man who had done unspeakable things. I knew he needed Jesus. You know he needs Jesus. I know the Lord died for him. But on the way home, I was like, Lord, I can't. I remember my stomach turning, literally knotting up on the way home. I had to pull over my car because the Lord asked me exactly what I said this morning. Who do you think you are? I died for him. But Lord, Lord, he deserves to pay for that. And so do you. But Lord, it's different. No, it's not. We like to make it different. But you know, we always say these things, but do we really believe it, that the ground at the cross is level ground?
Right.
There's no one that deserves it more than someone else. Does the Bible not say by grace are ye saved through faith? Unmerited means unmerited, which means if you merit it more than someone else, is it really grace? Which I would question, are you really saved? It's unmerited. You cannot deserve it. We don't earn it. We cannot deserve it more than someone else. And so even the vilest offender, we have songs that sing about that. The people that he touched were dirty. I have a whole list of things written down. I'm not going to read through all of it, but you know, maybe if you see someone else and you know, well, their feet are dirty, or we see their imperfections, or we see that they're stank. Come on, I'm trying to get y'all to smile a little bit. We see their mistakes. We see their flaws. We see their errors. We see the errors of their ways. We see their sins. But the Lord sees all that and he still died for you. Do you not think that the Lord would extend that same grace to them? It's unmerited. Absolutely. Maybe it's our other church members. Maybe it's the world around us. Maybe it's the family. Come on, family's hard to love sometimes. We're getting ready to drive and see family today. Even your family. Even your spouse. Well, Brother Lance, you know how many marital counseling sessions I've done? Well, Brother Lance, I just don't love her anymore. The Lord still loves you. And you are quite unlovable. Nod your heads up and down. Sometimes we think we're lovable, but the reality is our spouses know us, but the Lord knows us even more than that, and he still loves you in spite of your dirty feet and everything else. The people that he touched, listen, they were dirty, they were depraved, they were defiled, they were destitute, they were doubting, they were denying. Did you know they were even betraying? He washed Judas's feet. The very one that he knew would stand against him, he still washed his feet. Do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? What I'm talking about is evangelism. What I'm talking about is reaching somebody. And until we can love the people around us and be willing to serve, we'll never reach them. You know how many times I've invited a young man or a young lady to chapel? I'll be like, listen, hey, I'm not religious. Well, that's fine. But I'd like to invite you to come. Well, I don't want to do the church thing. I've been around those church people before. And you probably heard the same thing. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about, remember when I used the term highfalutin? Those church people, what they're thinking about is people that, I go to church. I'm a good person. I'm a do-gooder. I'm one of God's chosen. Come on now. And I know, Lord willing, there's nobody in here that's malicious quite like that. And you might not mean it in that way, but sometimes we portray that and people, we think that we're better than we are. The only thing that makes us good is him. Without Christ, what are we? The same people that he reached here were the same people that were all around him. They weren't super spiritual people. I'm not saying they didn't strive to be. I'm not saying we shouldn't strive to be. I think we ought to. We ought to strive to be close to Christ. We ought to strive to be spiritual. We ought to strive to hinge on his every word. We ought to strive to be a servant with him and to listen to him and to allow him to minister to our hearts. But the reality is sometimes we get to think, well, I've been a member of Westside Baptist Church for so long and I've been saved for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. And we have forgotten, like James says, we've forgotten what manner of man we were. And we are surrounded by people who used to be exactly where we were, and now we don't even give them a second thought. Yet here is the creator of the universe, on his knees, washing the dirtiest part of humanity. So it's not about just the position that he took, but it's also about the people he touched. You know who he touches? Us. You know who he touches? Inmates. God is willing to reach the vilest offender. Let me get to the last part this morning. I hope this will be a help to you. But there is also something a little bit further. The Bible says in verse number 8 through 11, it talks about Simon Peter and his interaction with Jesus. And I don't have time to expound on all of that, but I'll tell you that Peter saith unto him, thou, in verse 8, thou shalt never wash my feet. And sometimes we have the attitude with the Lord, well, Lord, no way. I am not letting my Savior take such a degrading position. Listen, he did anyway. Acknowledge what he did and be thankful for what he did. And sometimes when we're corrected like Peter, by the way, we're a whole lot more like Peter than we think we are. Well, I can't believe some of the things Peter said. I mean, he just stuck his foot in his mouth. Well, we do you know how many times we do that and we say things that we ought not say and we do things that we would probably react the same way. And Peter in verse number 9 says to the Lord, Lord, not well, okay. Well, then if you're going to wash my feet, then I want to be, okay. If I'm going to let you wash the dirtiest part, I want to be better than everyone else. I want you to wash everything because I'm special. I know you're washing their feet, but I'm extra dirty and I just need an extra dose of grace. So you need to wash all of me. Come on. And we laugh, but the reality is some of us have that attitude when we go to the Lord rather than going to Him. Well, in the name of, I want to be better than that. So I want you to do everything. Well, the Lord didn't say you need to do everything. He said, I'm going to wash what needs to be washed. And I'm going to wash what I want to wash because He is God. But we're not content with what God, come on now. We aren't always content with what God wants, are we? I like the lack of response because you know it's true. We don't always like what God likes. We don't always want what God wants. Sometimes we want more. Come on. Or we don't want him to do it at all, which is both the case that we see with Peter. That's not the attitude we're supposed to have. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. He said, listen, I'm going to wash your feet because I'm trying to show you something here. But you're already clean. Not everyone, but they could be. You don't need to get, I'm not here to give you a bath. I'm here to wash your feet. By the way, you know, when you come to the altar, when you have your prayer time, ask the Lord to take care of what needs to be taken care of. That's what He's there to do. But sometimes we just need to make sure our attitude's in check when we go to the Lord. When the Bible says, go boldly to the throne of grace, I just heard a preacher preach on this not too long ago. Sometimes we just go in there and say, well, I can ask for anything. Well, true to an extent. But in context, are we asking is within the will of the Lord? Is this a spiritual thing? Lord, I want to win the lottery. I don't think that's how it plays out. Lord, I want a brand new Tesla. I have no problem with new Teslas. I think they're really nice. But that's not what the Lord's talking about. When He says go boldly into the throne of grace, we should ask not just in the name of Jesus, but are we asking in the name of Jesus? Are we asking for what? Do we want what the Lord wants? Most of us, I said us, not you, most of us don't always want what the Lord wants. We want what we want, and we want the Lord to take our suggestions. Lord, will you sign off on my will? Rather than saying, Lord, I'll accept your will regardless of what it is. That's just the reality. Most of us are there. But there's a purpose to all this, and I can't say that I have everything. I could probably preach a whole series on this, but I'm going to try to hit what the Bible makes the most obvious here. So in verse number 12. So if you're lost this morning, and I'm not talking spiritually lost like never been saved, but if you're not following me, or if you're lost too, if you don't know the Lord, either way, you can come to this conclusion. Verse 22, after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you know why? What is the purpose? Well, that's the last thing this morning. The position he took, the people that he touched, but also the purpose that he told. He gave them a purpose. Maybe you're like me. And this last year, Pastor Peter, it's been rough. I told you that. It's been kind of rough. And I've wondered, God, what do you have for me? What is my purpose right here, right now? I know that God's called me. I know the burden He's given me. I know the mission field He's given me. But have you ever felt lost without a purpose? Did you know that that causes great depression and possibly even despondency when we do not know what our purpose is? Now, as a born-again believer, we should know, well, our purpose is to be do whatever the Lord wants us to do. But it's more than that. The Lord says, listen, it's a dark time. It's an ominous time. I'm getting ready to be crucified. He had already told them that, whether they had connected or not. That's to be argued. But He had told them. He knew what was coming, but even when it's dark, even when you don't understand, even when you come into times where, and if it's not now, it will be, and there'll be a time that you don't see Christ. Do you have a purpose when that happens? A man without a purpose is a broken man. You know, veterans, they say that 22 a day commit suicide. I've shared that here before. In fact, recently I read an article that's even higher than that. But I would say it's not just veterans. In this world, suicides have skyrocketed in the last couple of years. Do you know why? Because people don't know why we're here. The world and their own philosophies tell them we have no purpose. We're here just to exist. I did research for another sermon I preached not too long ago, and I was looking at an article put out by NPR. And it said something like this. I can't remember who the individual was that they had interviewed, but the individual said something like this. Our only purpose is to exist. Not like a rock, because we are active, but just to be here, to get as far as you can. No wonder our world is collapsing on itself. People don't even know what their purpose is, but Christ gives us a very distinct purpose, specifically the church. These are His apostles, His disciples. I pray this morning that you define yourself as a disciple, as a student of Christ. And we ought to listen and say, listen, we have a purpose. There is a purpose that He tells. I want you to listen to this. Verse number 13, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, verse number 14, your Lord and Master have washed your feet. Listen, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. You say, wait a minute, Brother Lance, you just said you don't think that foot washing is an ordinance, but here it says Jesus said then you ought to wash each other's feet. But you're, I don't care if you want to wash each other's feet. That's not, but I don't think that's where it's at. I think it's deeper than that. Do you know what he's saying? Look around you and see, you've had your feet washed because I just washed them. The Lord's talking to His apostles. I just washed your feet. Now you, because of my authority and what I have demonstrated, if I can submit myself and take off all my external things that make me look like something different, and I can put on the attire of a servant, and I can take a knee before you and wash the dirtiest part of you, then you can certainly do the same for someone else. Do you know when the world will get reached for Christ is when we realize that they need what we have? And not because we're better, but because we have someone they don't, and we have been cleansed, and we can share that with someone. You say, Brother Lance, well, yeah, I understand that's our purpose, and probably everyone in here would know that we ought to be evangelistic. We ought to try to share the gospel. But it's more than that. This is not just a weekly visitation or a weekly door knocking or a weekly outreach. This ought to be our life. Look for someone, that person, that friend of yours, you know, that person that you met on, you know, from your neighborhood that helps, that person you work with, that person that you become friends with, that person at the coffee shop that you see every week, that you know their name, that person at the post office. My wife laughs at me. I go in the post office. I know their names. Listen, God puts those people in your life for a reason. And once you have a connection with them, I'm not against cold turkey door knocking and going and knocking on someone's door. But listen, it's a lot more effective when it's someone we know and God has given us a connection. And all we have to do is say, allow me to serve
you. Instead of seeing that person that's in need and saying, well, I wonder what they did. They must have made God mad. You know, God must be giving it to them. Why don't you go to them and say, listen, what can I do to help you? Can I serve you? Can I do something to be a blessing to you? If the church was like that and we were looking like the apostles, and Jesus told them, you ought to wash one another's feet. If we would go and say, Pastor Peter, what can I do to be a blessing to you today? If that was our heart, I'm not talking about just words. If that was our heart and the way we lived our lives, because that's how He lived. Imagine the impact you could make here in the greater Bremerton area for Christ. Imagine the people that are hurting, that have no purpose, and the Lord's given us purpose. The purpose that He told, the purpose that He communicated is deeper. Look, He goes on, verse number 16, listen to this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Boy, it would do, if you don't have that verse, at least associate, if you're not familiar with it, then you ought to get familiar with it. John 13, verse 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. In other words, if I can get on my knees and serve the dirtiest thing, guess what you can do? Because you're not better than me. Hopefully I'm communicating clearly this morning. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now look, here's the purpose. This is where it comes to fruition. Look what it says in verse 17. If, by the way, that's a big if you know these things. Remember he says, do you know what I've done unto you? If you know this, what does he say? How many of you already read the verse? If you know these things, say it with me, happy. Now, if you were standing where I'm standing this morning, looking at what I'm looking at this morning, you'd say, boy, these people need to be happy. If we're happy, why don't our faces say it? You say, well, Brother Lance, I'm really struggling. I had a young man call me from our church the other day. He said, Brother Lance, yeah, I've known this young man since he was a teenager. And he said, Brother Lance, he says, I am just really struggling with depression. He's going through a new job thing, and they're doing a bunch of background checks and all this kind of stuff. And he says, I'm finding myself really, really depressed, and I'm just in a bad place. And I told him? I said, quit being self-absorbed. I know this kid better than I wouldn't say this to just everyone. I'd be a little more tactful. But with this young man, I said, you're being self-absorbed. I said, do you know why you're depressed? Do you know why you're down? Because all you're doing is looking at self. Listen, if I look back at my background and I looked at all that I used to be and all of my mistakes and all the things that I have failed in over my life, I would be depressed too. But we have Christ. And He is who ought to define us now. It is not where we used to be. James, I mentioned that earlier. We've forgotten what manner of man we used to be. We're not there anymore. God has cleaned us and saved us and changed us. And the only reason we get down and depressed is because we're looking at us. Poor me. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like what I've been given. I don't like where I am. I don't like... But listen. Come on. I'm reading the Bible to you this morning. If you know these things, happy you will be. The best thing I can tell you is this. If you find yourself struggling, Lord, I just don't know what you have for me. How can I serve at Westside? How can I be more fulfilled in my Christian walk? Serve. Pastor Peter, are there things that could be done around here, Pastor?
Absolutely.
I thought so. Pastor Peter, I want to serve. I just told someone that not too long ago from this church. I said, go to the pastor and say, I will do whatever you would like me to do, because I want to serve God. Listen, Jesus, I'm just reading the Bible. I mean, how true is this? Look what it says. If ye know these things, happy are ye. Here's another if ye do them. If you would serve, you'd be a lot happier. You're like, Brother Lance, it doesn't eliminate my problems. No, it does not. But listen, when you're looking at someone else and you're able to help someone else and you're able to be a blessing to someone else, and when you see the Lord, the God of heaven, reach down and touch the life of someone else who is in need through you, do you know what that will do for you as a believer? Have you ever been in the spiritual birthing room to watch someone trust Christ? Have you ever been involved with that, where God used you to reach someone? You know what that is? It is a blessing. You'll be the one shouting. If they don't, you will. You say, Brother Lance, I don't understand. How many of you are dads? How many of you are moms? How many of you have been there for the birth of a child? Guess what happens when you're there for the birth of a child? I was there for both of my daughters. Wow! Woo! I can't even express it. You're overflowing. You're overjoyed. You are elated. Do you know what? It's the same way spiritually. If we would just take off our cloak and put on a towel and say, I want to help someone who was where I was before I got cleaned, and let me minister to them and let me help them and let them get a taste of what it is to know the Lord. Did you know that we would have that same joy and you would find yourself happy to serve God? You're like, man, the Lord, look at them, how great they're doing. That's why people in church, when they lead someone to the Lord or they bring a visitor and they come and they join and they trust Christ and you watch God work in their life, you know what I'm talking about if you've done that. It's overwhelming and it brings great joy and happiness. And you don't find yourself sitting there saying, I'm so down. I have no purpose. I don't know what God's doing. By the way, it's a constant thing. I told you I've been serving the Lord in the prison ministry for 21 years, and this last year's been rough. And there have been times I've been just like this, and I've gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't understand, and I'm depressed, and why can't I see You do what You used to do? And Lord, and you know what He says to me? He takes me right back here. When's the last time you just got on your knees and did some dirty stuff and cleaned up something that was dirty and just ministered to someone? And the more I find myself ministering and the more I find myself reaching out and the more I allow the Lord to use me to help someone else, you know what happens? I find myself happier. By the way, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Did He not say that? Happy are ye if ye do them. There are a lot of unconditional things in the Bible, but there are a lot of conditional things. And most of our churches are very unhappy because people don't want to serve. They want to join a church where they can be served. Come on. It's the number one reason people don't join a church. Well, they just didn't have what I needed. They didn't have what I wanted them to offer me. Well, how about this? Why don't you join and have something to offer? Why don't I join and have somewhere to serve? God will, the happiness that God has for you is in serving Him. The happiest I have ever been in my life is when I was able to serve the Lord unhindered and just keep doing. Listen, the Lord wants you to serve Him and He wants you to be happy. And the way you can serve Him is reaching those people around you. By the way, this is not just relational. As far as reaching the community, this can also be if you're dark in a dark place or a depressed place or maybe you're having struggles in your family or your marriage. Did you know this can apply to your wife too? Guys, this can apply to your husband, ladies. If you're having trouble, listen, if you just start serving them anyway, you're like, but sir, you don't understand. Their feet are dirty. Their feet really stink. Well, hopefully you've got past the feet thing. That's just an illustration. But listen, we all have stink. Look up here. It's almost time to pray. Not yet. Look up here. We all have stink. Come on. And if we would humble ourselves and say, you know what, Lord? I just want to be used of You. And when we start serving one another, God can do the impossible. Do you believe that? I do. Do you know? Know ye what I have done unto you. I'll close with this. Most unhappy people are trying to do something they just can't. They're trying to be something they just aren't.
or they're trying to live somewhere or somehow that they aren't made to. Why don't you serve God where you are and be willing to help that one who you know needs it? And not because you're better, but because the Lord's already washed your feet. God can use you right here. You can reach someone for Christ. I really believe God can change your lives. He can do amazing things. I don't have time to go this morning, but in John chapter 13, it just reiterates the same thing. John chapter 13, verse 13 through 17, you can look at it. Listen, that's what the Lord has for us. Or pardon me, John 15, 11 through 13. John 15, 11 through 13. Listen, dwell in Christ, produce fruit. That's what Christ put us here for. And you will be happy. You'll be a happy church. Would you serve God this morning? I don't know where you are with the Lord. As the musician comes, I don't know if is the pianist here. Okay. Well, as we close this morning, let's just do this. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. I know that normally, I don't know how you close your services, but I don't know where you are with the Lord today. But you do. Maybe there's someone here that would say, Brother Lance, I don't even know if I've ever been saved. If there's someone here that's never trusted Christ, I pray that before you leave, that you'd stop by my table at the back. I'm sure Pastor Peter and Pastor John, find someone and say, listen, I don't know for sure if I've ever trusted Christ. Let Him wash you. I guarantee you He will. Secondly, if you're here this morning and you know you have been saved, and you are striving to find purpose and happiness and fulfillment and joy in this world, which is dark, then maybe we ought to serve. Heavenly Father, thank You for this church. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, I'm sure that there are others who could articulate things better than me, but Lord, it's really a simple thought. But Lord, it's so deep at the same time. I pray that You would work this in our hearts. Help us to leave here today thinking about Your Word. Lord, challenge us. If there is someone that's never trusted You as their Lord and Savior, I do pray that they would stop and see me on the way out. And Lord, if there's someone who's struggling, I pray that You'd give us the desire to reach someone else for You. Lord, that we would reach this community, that we would reach the others that we live with and live near and work with. Lord, it would just be wonderful to see You bless incredibly here. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I appreciate your attention this morning. Please respond as God would have you to. Don't leave this morning without knowing Him.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you would like to learn more about the Westside Baptist Church, please visit our website, www.BibleDirectionForLife.com. Subscribe to the podcast if you would like to hear new sermons and lessons each week. And remember that a sermon podcast is no substitute for opening up a Bible and reading it for yourself.